Alex Chalios, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. Sorry for being late. We're a little bit all over the shop this morning.
I know how you feel.
Bit going on. How's things at thebigsmoke.com.au in lockdown Sydney?
Everything's okay.
Excellent.
It's stable. It's, you know, consistent. Nothing's changed.
Fantastic. And you're still going about your day-to-day. Love it. Hey, over in Ireland, Alex Chalios, there's a new robot that's about to be used in conducting brain surgery. And apparently, squirrels have something to do with robots. What's going on there?
Okay, so this is kind of cool. So it's cutting-edge robotic surgery. It's being integrated into a hospital in Ireland. The robot's name is Rosa. And apparently Rosa can do everything that a human brain surgeon can do. And she has been fully tested and is now being used in the hospital. So that's been really exciting and a real, you know, move forward. And also there's elements of, will this, you know, mitigate the risk of human error and all that kind of stuff. But what's fascinating about this story is that to train someone like Rosa, engineers are starting to study more around the movement and the activity of squirrels. Because of the way squirrels respond, the way squirrels act, the way that they bury their nuts in clusters, the way that they jump, all of those things are around how a squirrel actually can be observed, is allowing engineers to understand abstract spatial tasks. And that's how they're going to be able to help robots become more effective.
Just let me backtrack here. Did you say bury their nuts in clusters?
Exactly what I said was what I meant.
Okay. I want to know which person stuck their hand up to be the first to be tested with brain surgery by a robot. I'm not sure I'm trusting of that process yet.
Well, you know, experts have already been working on tiny robots that go into your body to fight tumours. So it's you know, there's different ways that surgery has been already using robotic technology. So this is just another level of that. There'll still obviously be human oversight.
That sounds very much like a movie that I watched years ago called Inner Space, 1987, if memory correctly. So, yep, I've just Google searched it.
Was that when they swallowed the robots? That.
Dennis Quaid, Inner Space.
I remember Dennis Quaid.
Look at them forecasting the future before the Simpsons.
Like the Star Wars movies.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's that too. Moving on, speaking of Disney, princesses, and researchers are looking into the impact of Disney princesses on young children. Is it good or bad?
Yeah, so, you know, we've always had this kind of narrative that Disney films are a negative representation to young girls around being a woman. So, you know, when you think about Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty and all of those characters, there's been a lot of backlash around, you know, is this a culture that we really want? Is it antiquated, basically? But recently a study that's been done has found that Disney's tried to change the way that they represent women in their films by making their princesses tougher and more self-reliant. And the study found that young girls who were watching Disney films were more likely to feel powerful and like they could do anything because of the films, as opposed to what was feared, which was that they would be relying on somebody to save them, a prince to save them. So it was around the understanding of the child's view on gender roles and gender stereotypical characters that they were more or less likely to resonate with.
Well, our kids watch a lot of Disney movies that involve princesses, so I'm happy about that. They can fend for themselves. All good. They don't need me.
That's true.
Let's wrap up this morning as we shoot the breeze with Alex Chalios from thebigsmoke.com.au with the complex question, can my employer enforce vaccines? What is the answer, Alex?
It's not a black and white answer. So Scott Morrison has still said that vaccinations are voluntary. However, they are compulsory for aged care workers, quarantine the airport staff, some health workers. But there have been cases already where people have lost their jobs because they haven't wanted to get vaccinated. Now, whether or not that's legal is based on a number of really important criteria, such as, is there the option to work remotely? Is the vaccination direction discriminatory? You know, is there an availability of the directed vaccination? Whether or not others in the workplace could be impacted negatively, or are there children? So, for example, there was a case where a young woman didn't want to get vaccinated, but she worked at a childcare centre. So she was dismissed. And because of those factors, that's actually a very fair dismissal. So it's going to be about a number of factors, and the Fair Work Ombudsman has said that it's going to be about whether or not an employer can keep their workplace safe and to eliminate or minimise the risk of exposure to COVID-19. That's what's going to determine if it's a legal dismissal.
To make it fait accompli, the government would have to make it law, but I can't see that happening just quietly, Alex.
I think that, but I do believe that we should be setting a precedent in corporations that the vaccination should be rolled out and encouraged. And I think education is the way to do that.
Yep, education for sure. Always great to catch up with you. Alex Chelios from thebigsmoke.com.au. We'll shoot the breeze again next week.
Thanks so much.
It's time.